You're listening to True North with Pastor Gary Cottle of Gary Cottle Ministries.
The ride is a lot smoother when you're thankful. That's why, have you noticed when we get to praising the Lord, man, you could have had a terrible week. You come up in here and they lead us in some of these songs of worship. Next thing you know, you feel like you're lifted to the heavens. Why is that? Because gratitude cushions the ride for you. You might still be going through it, but it's not as bad when you sense the presence of God in your life, is it?
We're in the middle of a long and difficult journey. It can become difficult to have faith that we'll make it to the other side. But in today's message, Pastor Gary reminds us that if we have gratitude, we will have the hindsight needed to look back and see how God has gotten us this far. When the road ahead seems impossible, we should take a moment to think back on all of the ways that God has provided for us to that point and be grateful in knowing that He will lead us the rest of the way. Now, here's Pastor Gary in the book of Luke chapter 17 as he continues his message, The Power of Gratitude.
Many of you have had repeat offenders come to you asking for help the thousandth time. And you already know that if you help them, they'll be back again. Why? Because they refuse to fix the problem that keeps digging them in that hole to start with. What Jesus wants to do is give you more than a patch job. He wants to fix the problem at its root so you never have to live in that situation again. You can live above it with the wholeness that He can provide. Don't you like that? I'm glad that He wants to fix all of me, not just parts of me. I'm glad that He gives me the grace that I need. Sometimes He has to do a rescue so that I can even begin to walk in the right direction. And that's the grace of God, is it not? But He doesn't want to just leave me to my own devices. He wants to be involved in my life. He wants to be my financier. He wants to be my banker. He wants to be, amen, my planner. He wants to be my motivation. He wants to be my mindset, my heartbeat, my guide, my healer, my deliverer. He wants to be everything to me. And if I will return with gratitude for the one helping me and not just what He can do for me, then I can learn how to expand the gift that God gave me through grace. And I want all of Him, not just parts of Him. God wants to fix everything that's broken in your life. Do you believe that? Say amen. Now, Jesus, just as Jesus took the loaves, remember the five loaves, the two fish, and the Bible said He gave thanks. That's when they started to multiply. Here's your text, John chapter 6, verse 11. Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Jesus set up an all-you-could-eat buffet with five loaves and two fish. Now, we kind of get tripped up over the fact that all the disciples could bring to Jesus was five loaves and two fish. But I'm tripping over the fact that all that the Father relegated to Jesus was five loaves and two fish. This was the Father's purposeful and intentional plan that they would not physically have enough for the moment. Because God wanted to demonstrate a very important principle here. It wasn't till Jesus break. By the way, sometimes God's got to break you before He can fix you. Sometimes the puzzle pieces of your life are all out of order and all out of whack and glued in the wrong place. And God's got to tear you all to pieces and put you back together the way He wants you to be. Amen. And sometimes He's got to break you before He can bless you. That's a message in and of itself. And I want to thank God for the breakings in my life, because when I thought I had it together, I didn't. When I thought I was smart enough, I wasn't. When I thought I was gifted enough, I wasn't. When I thought I had enough anointing on me to fight the devil off, I didn't have it. God had to let me stumble and fall and break and over again and tear me all to pieces until I had no strength of my own. And I finally just said, you know what, Lord, you can have it all, because I obviously don't know what I'm doing. And God said, now we're getting somewhere. He'll break you before he can fix you, before he'll heal you, before he'll multiply. So he break it. Then he blessed it and gave thanks, the Bible said. And it was after he gave thanks that the Father multiplied it. Jesus didn't have the mully grubs. He didn't say, no, Father, you know we're going to need more than this. He just said, Lord, thank you. You know what that reminds me of? George Mueller. Y'all remember the story, don't you? If you hadn't heard the story, let me quickly tell it to you. He had an orphanage that fed thousands of children a day for years. There were times when they had literally no food left in the cupboards. And George Mueller set out early in his ministry to live by faith alone. Brother Bryant, he literally intentionally decided to never ask a human being for a dime. He said, I'm going to get it from God. If I don't get it from God, I won't get it. But I'm not going to go to man for the needs of this orphanage. And he would just pray until God did it. One morning they got up and there's no food on the table. He said, set the table, set the dishes and the silverware out. We're going to give thanks. Give thanks for what? We're just going to give thanks. And they gave thanks. And as soon as they said amen, a knock on the door, bread truck broke down out front. And maybe that was the milk truck story. But there was a couple times that this kind of thing happened. And all of a sudden, somebody showed up with a whole boatload of food. And God blessed, because the man just gave thanks in faith. He didn't have nothing. What do we typically do? God, it's me again. You ain't give me enough yet. And it reveals the greed of our heart. How do you know you're greedy? You know you're greedy when God can never give you enough. Because you always look at what God gave you as too little. And you never learn to say thank you for what little he does give you. What we've got to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry for my greed. I'm sorry that I have such a greedy attitude and a pessimistic outlook on life. It may not be able to add up on paper yet, but it don't need to add up on my paper as long as it adds up on yours. So I'm going to just add this to my account in heaven. I want the heavenly record to reflect that I'm a thankful heart. Amen. Thank you for the little bit. It may only be 5 loaves and 2 fish. It may not pay all my bills this month, but I want to thank you for what I did have. I want to thank you for what I do have. I want to thank you that it could be a whole lot worse, but it ain't. Amen. And I refuse to let the devil rob me of my faith and my joy and my hope and my future. And if you will learn to just thank God, you'll always be surprised at just how quickly he can add and multiply what he's given you, because you learned a very important principle. God very seldom, if ever, gives you the oak tree that you pray for. He'll give you the seed of the oak tree. Because it's his pattern of faith that he builds into your life. Can you learn to trust him with the little? Can you be faithful with the little? I'm learning that one of the ways that we're faithful with the little is when we're thankful for the little. Little is much when God is in it. Amen. And so I've got an attitude shift happening in my own heart as your pastor. God has had to rebuke me because I've got so focused on the battles and the trials and the tribulations and the storms that I almost lost my joy, Brother Chris. And I've had to repent and ask God to forgive me. And I've had to shift my attitude towards heaven and say, Lord, you know what? You've been so good to me. And Lord, I know that we ain't everything that we want to be, but thank God we ain't where we used to be. Amen. I know that our church may not be the biggest church in town, but we got some people that love Jesus and love each other and love the community. And amen. And we can be thankful for what God has given us and watch God multiply that in his time and in his way. And unless until he does, we're still going to be thankful. Amen. I'm not going to let the devil talk me out of being rejoicing and thankful for what God has, is, and will do. Amen. So if we'll thank him, he'll begin to grow and multiply. And this is how the Lord gave it to me. He said, grace gives you the gift, but gratitude grows and multiplies that gift. All of a sudden, when we get this attitude, you know what happens? Your eyes are open. And all of a sudden, you see possibilities again. And all of a sudden, you have energy and motivation to get up and serve again, because you realize that God is on your side. You realize that God is the master of your destiny. You realize that all things will work together for them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. And all of a sudden, the devil lost a battle over your mind, because now you're thanking him in the midst of the storm. Amen. When the devil thought it would do you in, when the devil thought that he could talk you into just cursing God and dying, there you are saying, the Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away, but I bless the name of the Lord today anyhow, because he is good and he is awesome and he forevermore shall be. Somebody give God some glory for who he is in your life. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. Jesus took the loaves and he gave thanks. You see, thanksgiving releases increase both spiritually and practically. Oh, I'm glad this is helping me, and I'm glad it's helping you. See, when we bring our praise back to the feet of Jesus, we find that gratitude transforms a transactional miracle into a transformational relationship. My walk with God is no longer transactional. It's transforming. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Y'all remember that song? That's the attitude of our heart when we are responding to grace with gratitude. And so lastly, we see the wholeness of the worshiper. Verse 19, he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Could this be that gratitude is the bridge between lack and supply? Could it be that gratitude is the bridge between faith and sight? Could it be that gratitude is the bridge between the wilderness and the promised land of Canaan? Because the Bible said in the Old Testament that when the people complained, that this pleased the Lord. And they were always in trouble with God in the wilderness, because they were always grumbling and complaining. And they were bragging more on Egypt's bread than God's manna fallen from heaven. Well, at least in Egypt, we didn't go hungry. Yeah, but you were in bondage. You were imprisoned. You see how that can quickly displease the Lord when the devil talks us into buying into his lies and his vision, and all of a sudden we're thinking, well, maybe I shouldn't have stepped out in faith. This is costing me more than I thought. And all of a sudden the devil done got us, because now we talking more about our problems than we are our provider. And God is teaching us that the bridge from the wilderness to the promised land, what parts the waters, is gratitude. You know why? Because I believe with all of my heart that an attitude of gratitude and praise to God is the purest form of faith. That is when you can honestly say before God, Lord, I trust you with everything. So the particulars don't matter, as long as you're by my side. I'm good. That's why the lady whose son was laid up dead, when she went to see the prophet, they said, Is it well? She said, It is well. Her son was dead. It wasn't well, but it was to her, because she had faith to praise God in the storm. She was already thanking God for the deliverance that she believed that God was going to bring to her life. And I believe she had so much faith that even if God didn't do it, she would have still praised him. And that's the kind of faith we got to have, is an attitude of gratitude, to where we're truly from the heart, not just make-believe, not just putting on a show, but truly from the heart, saying to God, I love you, I thank you, I trust you, you're awesome. There's nothing that will separate me from you. The wholeness comes when we respond to grace with true gratitude. There's a difference between being healed and being whole. I've already shared this. The 9 were healed physically. 1 was restored spiritually and relationally. So gratitude is the soil in which grace grows. Did you hear that? Gratitude is the soil in which grace grows. Anything that God does for you, just go ahead and give him thanks, no matter how little it feels or seems right now. You remember when the prophet was praying for rain and he had a servant going out to look up in the sky? And I got too big a belly, or I'd demonstrate how he buckled down and put his head between his legs. I don't know if I could leap over that far, amen. but he was just, he buried his face so that all he could see was his mind's eye of faith, and he wasn't distracted by the optics. But he did send a servant, now go look. And he just kept sending them back. He'd come back, and I don't see nothing yet. What you still praying for? Go look again. I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit, amen. I think it went kind of like that, but I could be wrong. But 7 times he sent. He didn't quit praying because the second or third time, nothing. Well, God must not be hearing my prayer. I don't see nothing happening. No, just keep praying. Just keep giving thanks. Keep believing. Keep trusting. What happened that 7th time? He comes back and says, I see a little cloud about the size of a man's hand. And that's when he said, you better get up and get moving because there's a flood a coming. Amen. You know, gratitude will teach us how to endure the weight of the promise. The ride is a lot smoother when you're thankful. That's why, have you noticed when we get to praising the Lord, man, you could have had a terrible week. You come up in here and they lead us in some of these songs of worship. Next thing you know, you feel like you're lifted to the heavens. Why is that? Because gratitude cushions the ride for you. You might still be going through it, but it's not as bad when you sense the presence of God in your life, is it? Amen. And so this is a picture of what wholeness looks like. And when we learn to thank God for the seed rather than the tree, we show that we trust his process. Even in prayer, our gratitude becomes a sweet savor before the Lord. Listen to this scripture in the book of Psalm, chapter 141 and verse 2. It says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. You see, when we flavor our prayers with thanksgiving, they rise before him as a pleasing aroma. Brother Lester got me to thinking along these lines yesterday. And I may not quote you exactly right, Brother Lester, but I'm going to give it the way I remember it, okay? Brother Lester was like, you know, when we learn to just go into the prayer closet and be thankful rather than just begging. He said it doesn't necessarily eliminate the begging, because there are times that we're still going to beg, but when you enter in with thanksgiving, it sure does season that begging a little different, don't it? I was pretty close, wasn't I? Pretty close. And boy, I got to thinking about that. That's exactly right. Have you seasoned your requests before God with a good dose of thanksgiving? Boy, I got to thinking about that. That is such a powerful analogy, isn't it? Nobody likes bland food. Even God has a good taste. Amen. Has your prayers pleased God's palate? God has a sophisticated palate. Don't come to him with your trash. Come to him with praise. Come to him with gratitude. Come to him acknowledging who he is and what he's able to do and how capable he is. All of a sudden, you start bragging on him. You know why God starts flexing his muscles? Because he sees somebody that knows who he is. That excites God when his creation returns the glory that they were created to give him. And when you return glory to him and say, oh my goodness, look at here, look at the kind of God I got. I got a God that can heal the sick. I got a God that can cast out devils. I got a God that can raise the dead. I got a God that can fix broken hearts. I got a God that can mend marriages. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I got a God that can meet my need when I don't know where the financial resources are coming from. I got a God that loves me when I'm unlovable. I've got a God, hey man, the reins on the just and on the unjust. I got a God that's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And all of a sudden you get all excited because God's getting all excited and y'all both have a good time together. Amen. And God most likely will move something that wasn't moved because you gave him the glory that you were designed to give him. If you look in the garden before the fall, everything was perfect. Because the relationship between God and Adam was perfect. They walked in the cool of the evening together, enjoying one another's company. I love what Charles Stanley said about success. He defined success as living in the presence of God. You can't live in his presence if you're not thankful. You won't live in his presence if you're not thankful. Because the only appropriate response to the God that we serve is praise and honor and glory and gratitude. You see how that can shift everything? And all of a sudden God goes to fighting battles for you and doing things for you. And I can lead the way. I don't know, but what we need to find ourselves in the altar and say, God, I'm sorry that I've had the mully grubs. I'm sorry that I've complained too much and I've praised too little, and I want to change the atmosphere. I want you to smell the aroma that's welcoming to your presence. I don't want to put out an offensive odor before the presence of God that binds down the church service where people can't get help and delivered because we got too many weights and burdens and we're focused on all the wrong things. So let's flavor our prayers with gratitude. And so in conclusion, gratitude doesn't just bless God, but it also changes us and those around us. You remember the lady with the alabaster box? Woo! She was forgiven of much, and she came before his presence, and she had an alabaster box full of ointment. It was very expensive. Some say, I think, a year's worth of wages, I think is what they say. And everybody else said that was stupid. You could have went and sold that and at least given it to the poor or something, but here you are pouring it on, wasting it on Jesus' feet. Praise at Jesus' feet is never a waste. Amen. You praise him with all that you are. The purest form of praise puts nothing on reserve for God. The purest form of praise says to God, you have access to and ownership of everything in my life. I give it all to you. My alabaster box that I've been saving up for an entire year of savings. I was looking to do something else. This was part of my retirement. God, you can have this because you mean that much to me. And if I had more, I'd give it, but I don't. So here's what I've got. And I know it's little compared to who you are and what you're able to do. And I know I'm not putting it in your coffers because you need it. But I'm putting it in your coffers because I need it. I need to tell you how much I love you. I need to tell you how much I appreciate you. I need to just praise your holy name. Amen. If you ever get that attitude, it'll change everything. If I ever get that attitude, it'll change everything. The devil wants to quickly rob this from you, though. But if we can capture this and keep it and make it our mantra going forward, no matter what, we're going to praise God. No matter what, we're going to keep a praise. His praise shall continually be in my lips. It'll change everything. Amen. So where are the nine? That question still calls us to self-examination, doesn't it? Are we content with blessings or are we pursuing the blesser?
You've been listening to True North with Pastor Gary Caudill. We're so glad you joined us today for this message in God's Word. Be sure to subscribe to True North on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss a new edition. This broadcast is part of Gary Caudill Ministries, and you can learn more about it and Pastor Gary by visiting our website, GaryCaudill.com. That's Gary, CAUDILL.com. As our time with you today comes to an end, we'd like to invite you to partner with us in sharing the good news of Jesus through this ministry. Would you pray for our listeners as well as for protection and encouragement for Pastor Gary as he shares these messages? Pastor Gary continues to seek God's direction in this ministry, and your prayers would be so appreciated. Another way you can be a part of what we're doing is through financial giving. Any amount would be useful for the equipping and edifying of believers and non-believers alike. Prayerfully consider your involvement in this way, and if you feel led to give, you can mail a check to Gary Caudill Ministries, 1112 Old Washington Road, Thompson, Georgia, 30824. Thanks for listening to True North.